Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast
with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fan. Me and Andrew did a drunk Saints history 2011 Saints. We did part one. Part one, you got that coming. You got another one coming. We're going to start the donation drive for 2018 Saints drunk history next week. I got the subject.
That drunk history episode was not brought to you by World Water or whatever that.
No, it was brought to you by.
What was that called? Third World Water?
Third wave water. Oh. Third world water.
Third world water. Third world water. You probably don't want to drink it.
Nothing gives it spice like Legionnaire's disease. So, of course, we're having a grand old time because the Saints are 7-2. The thing that I love about sports is you never know what you're going to see. Kevin. If I gave you these choices and you had to pick which was the least likely event to happen ever, and I said the Saints could run it 24 times in a row, a game show host would become president, or a presidential tweet would be breaking news on CNN, which one would you say would be least likely? I think I'd vote for the Saints running it 24 times under Sean Payton.
Right, because here's the thing. If you'd have told me, it depends on the age I was when you told me this, because I would have absolutely believed that Dick Clark or even Peter Tamarkin would have become president at some point in my young adult life. Unfortunately, Peter Tamarkin
would run the ball 24 times easy.
Definitely. If he could have.
I think he would have run the ball 50 times in a row if he could have.
But like any time post 2006, I don't think you say that's possible, right, Kevin?
2006. Man, were there any good game shows post 2006?
I mean, yeah,
no.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, you had Regis.
Jay Leno, Regis. Maybe.
Yeah, but Jay Leno.
Yeah, but he's not a
game show host.
Not a game show host.
Drew Carey, Bob Barker.
Richard Karn is the Family Feud host before Steve Harvey took over.
Richard Karn has issues with women. He got a little handsy with the women
I'm sorry. Richard Karn got a little handsy with women, and he. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Richard Karn could not possibly be president.
I thought getting handsy with women was a requisite for getting the job.
Richard Dawson. Too. He got a little handsy with the women.
That's like a requisite to be president of the United States.
It is now. So, I was physically upset with the Saints when they tried to throw it at the end of the 10-play 95-yard drive with Breeze. I was upset with them that they almost ruined that Mona Lisa of a drive with a pass. That's what
Mona Lisa.
Yeah, okay.
So I mean,
you were upset.
I was upset, but you, in spite of all the Saints running, your I don't call him your boyfriend. He's like your side piece, Mike Thomas. He finally got going. Did that make you excited?
I mean, I was happy, but I mean, he still really hasn't found. How many touchdowns does he have this season? One, two?
He was still bitter.
He don't need to have touchdowns. All they got to do is just hand the ball off to Ingram and Kamara.
Don't forget your boy Trey Edmonds.
Oh, Trey Edmonds.
Of the Edmonds Car Report dynasty.
If, right. No, I mean, if the Saints are going to run the ball like mad, like they did yesterday, and they're going to score touchdowns on the ground, then that's fine. I don't need Mike Thomas to score any touchdowns or find the end zone. I just need him to be a reliable pass catcher.
He's on your fantasy team, isn't he?
No, he's not. He's not. Kamara and the Saints defense are, and they've been doing quite well for me.
Working out well.
The problem is that I was going up against Mark Ingram. so it was kind of like a back and forth. So, I mean, I got a lot of points with Kamara that kind of offset the Ingram thing. I'll tell you, actually, what really pissed me off is I have the Saints defense. And so when Rankins intercepted that ball but didn't make it into the end zone, that cost me 6 points. And then Ingram wound up punching it in and giving my opponent double. 6 points. So that was a fucking 12-point swing just because Rankins couldn't get those last two fucking yards.
Andrew, Mark
Fantasy
Ingram.
Football, it was honestly, this is, let me tell you something. This game, the Saints game, even though they beat the Bills 47 to fucking 10, this was the reason why fantasy football is fucking sucks, because I'm sitting there and I'm like,
but do
no,
you I like how much money do you have how
and
much
every time he scores a touchdown,
how much money do you have riding in this league, Dave?
It's a $150 entry league. If you get high score, you get like $50 for that week, and like the winner gets like maybe $600 or $700, and yeah. I was in first place.
Yeah, I can kind of care for that. I mean, it's not the money,
Ralph. I'm very competitive,
and I so see, it's I'm very, always
it's,
about
so
the
it's
money.
So fucking annoying to be pissed off when the Saints are dominating against the Bills.
Well, I mean, you just have to put...
Saints has to trump fantasy.
I mean, well, it does, but it's just... I mean, come on, Rankins, get in the goddamn end zone.
Andrew, Mark Ingram is sick.
I'm sitting there, I'm yelling. I'm like, a skinnier guy couldn't have caught that and intercepted that.
I thought he was getting in because he had a convoy in front of him.
He did have good blocking. He did have good blocking.
I was like, he's getting in. Andrew, Mark Ingram is sixth in the NFL in rushing. He's less than 200 yards behind the number one guy. I don't think he could win a rushing title because he averages like 8 less carries than Le'Veon Bell for the Steelers. But I thought that it was possible. Is that insane that Mark Ingram could win a rushing title under Sean Payton? I don't think it's possible, but or I don't think it's likely, but is it possible?
It's still Sean Payton calling the offense, you know. So, you know, it's one thing when you're up by 30 points or 20 points even, and you're running every play and it's working, you're getting 10 yards a pop. It's not going to be like that every week. There's going to be plenty of games this year where the Saints are throwing a lot. So no, not possible.
Kevin, the Buffalo. Oh, and Andrew, we got to get to the Buff. We're going to get to you at the Buffalo fan bar that you went to yesterday. We'll get to that in a second. But Kevin,
In Charlottesville, Virginia.
Kevin, Buffalo fans, they were booing Tyrod, and then they had the streaker across the field. I mean, Buffalo, they're like your redneck white trash cousins of the NFL, like a fan base, right? That's who they are right now, right?
It definitely feels like it. Yeah.
I mean, they're doing table smashes in the pregame. No, that's the Lions fans that peep the heads.
No. I was gonna say no. The Bills fans were the ones smashing tables. I was actually getting ready to ask: was it the Bills fans or the Lions fans that were eating ass in the parking lot?
That was that was Lions fans, I think. So
okay.
Wait. Define eating ass.
I mean, literally, dead spit
in a parking lot.
In the parking lot, like just
like two guys, down. Two girls, guy.
I'm
and
assuming.
Girl.
I mean, I think it was two dudes. I don't know.
It's on Deadspin. Google it. You know, I mean,
I'm on my laptop right now. What do I need to Google here? Deadspin. I need to be careful because I'm not Googling eating ass.
I would go Deadspin is the first word. Lions. Parking lot.
Yeah, and you should be good.
Butthole eaten at Lions tailgate.
That's, I mean, yeah, that's the drugs.
There's definitely a butthole being eaten. Yeah,
somebody got in the butthole yesterday, and it was the entire Buffalo team.
This is why I love that. That's the comments, man. The first comment. This is I can't even say it.
Nougat.
This is absolutely disgusting. How could you even think about driving a Honda? I don't even have a joke.
Helium Juge, he's available for parties.
So, if you everyone should Google that. If they're at a laptop right now, I didn't know about this. Thank you guys.
Not if you're on your work laptop though.
Not safe for work. It's
probably not safe for work, and I know a lot of people listen to the podcast during the work day.
Yeah, I didn't realize this was literal. You actually meant that literally.
Yes.
Literally. I think they need to rank like the trashiest fan bases. You know, like, I don't know where Saints fans would be on that scale, but I'm totally
top
lost.
Half. Top half.
So, Dave, the Saints didn't even have Kenny Vaccaro yesterday, and they still curb stomped the Buffalo offense. What does that tell you about this defense?
It tells me that it's a badass motherfucking defense.
Top five, by the way, in points allowed in the NFL.
Yes, which is an important stat for sure.
Top 10.
I was genuinely concerned that Vaccaro being out would have a serious impact, but obviously I was totally wrong. I mean, Lattimore is just shuts down a whole half of the field. I mean, obviously I watched the game on TV, and I mean, they never even called his name. The only time they ever talked about him was when they were just gushing about his play, over the course of the season. But they never even called his name as far as an actual defended play is concerned. He gets looked at maybe two, three times a game.
By the way, the other corner, Connolly for Ohio State, that a lot of draft analysts had rated ahead of Lattimore or really close, he went on IR today and has been pretty much garbage for the Raiders the entire year.
There was no other. Lattimore was the highest rated.
No, they had a lot of. I mean, I wouldn't
coming
say
coming out of Ohio.
Andrew, they had a few draft analysts that had Connolly ahead of Lattimore. No,
am I? Oh yeah, for sure. Well, the thing about Lattimore,
I don't remember that at all.
No one really questioned his ability. I think everyone was clear that he was an amazing player, but
it was his injury history.
Yeah, it was the hamstrings,
and
then
he only played a year.
Some analysts, yes, but those were the two things that kind of knocked him. Like, oh, there's not enough tape. We don't know if he's that good because he's only been really good for a year.
Andrew, this team, I feel like this team is way deeper than we even thought it was. You know,
yeah.
Like, it's not like they have a lot of great guys, but they have all these guys. Like, when they get an injury, like Klein went out and they put in Tail, like, I felt like the previous 3 years, like a guy would get injured, and then you'd have this UDFA come in, and you'd be like Yules on the defensive line or Bobby Richardson, and you'd be like, fuck. But now it's like, okay, man, Ty Tayo, he could be okay. You know, like I feel like the depth is way better.
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to my man Jim Gleason for pointing this out earlier to me today. But, you know, it's impressive to me when you lose a guy like Kenny Vaccaro and he's not even out there. And when you face an offense with a guy like LeSean McCoy, who really is one of the best weapons in the league, and you don't have your best safety, Kenny Vaccaro, who I think would be a guy that would be a big part of the scheme and game plan and trying to stop a guy like that, especially coming out of the backfield on passes. And then on top of that, your middle linebacker, your signal caller, A.J. Klein goes out in the first quarter. You know, if you had told me before the game that was happening, yeah, I'd be concerned. But, you know, and then you look at the safeties and you have these veterans, Manti Te'o and Raphael Bush, both who have been starters in the league for a long, long time. And, man, they don't miss a beat. And, you know, they played as good as what the Saints were getting from the previous guys. And, you know, you add Von Bell to the mix, who I thought had a good game too. And, you know, it just adds up. Like you said, it's the depth, man. I like how the Saints have gotten a lot of talented young guys and they're playing them. But then they have supplemented their depth with a lot of veterans. And you look at Manti Te'o and, you know, a lot of these guys and Okafor. And you just guys that have come in, they're veterans. And it's a mix of young and old. Raphael Bush, a veteran who's been with this team. He's done it for a long time, very successfully. And, you know, when these guys go down, you're not having these huge drop-offs of UDFAs that don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, Kevin, I don't know if you saw
it. What's the status of Klein?
I don't know. I didn't see anything.
Sean Payton wouldn't talk about it.
He's dead.
Shocker. Yeah.
He's dead. Kevin, what's the translation card on Sean Payton when he, like, if he says he's got a hurt arm, it's decapitated. If he tweaked the knee, he's amp. What is the thing that Sean Payton says where you know they're going to Europe and they need like a blood transfusion? I forget the card. They had somebody on Canal Street Chronicles that had the Payton to English injury chart. But Kevin, I don't know if you saw Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara did their post game interview together.
No, I didn't.
I feel
that sounds adorable.
It was adorable. I feel like they would be either Method and Redman movie quality or True Detective season 3.
Okay. What's the question then? What do you want? I mean, what do you want to do? You want to pitch like Perfect Strangers 2017, where Kamara is Balky? Like, what are we doing here?
I like that. It'd be weird with the nose ring, but I'm here for it. My question is, Kamara, best Saints rookie running back ever?
No. You're forgetting George Rogers. I mean, his rookie season, and Chuck Muncy too.
Yeah, but here's the thing. George Rogers had 1,674 rushing yards. He had 380 carries. And Reuben Mase had 1,600 total yards, but he had like 280 touches or 270. So Kamara's gonna have 1,500 yards and 195 touches. So I'm like
wait a minute. Now wait, when you say 1,500 yards, you mean 1,500 rushing yards, or
total,
are we talking
total? Like he's okay. He's on pace for like 750 receiving yards and like 650 rushing yards on like 195 touches.
Well, I guess that's the stat then. I would look at Muncy, Rogers, get the total number of touches.
Muncy wasn't that good as a rookie. I'm looking at him now.
I was confusing him with Reuben Mays' rookie season.
Yeah.
And then get Rogers and who was the other guy you said? Mays and
Mays, Bush and Kamara, I think, are the four.
Yeah, and just put those numbers out there.
And then
the great thing about it is because it's four options, you can use that for a poll on the Saints podcast Twitter.
There we go. I will put that poll up after the or my phone is dead. So,
no Saints fans are going to remember George Rogers that listen to this podcast, though. There's probably like four of them.
But here's what you do. Because we have the longer Twitter thing, you send out four separate tweets. You say, here's this guy's numbers. Here's this guy's. You do that for all four. And then on the fifth tweet, you say, here's the poll. Which of these four?
You know, I'm gonna say this about Kamara. When I was watching him on Sunday, you know, there were plays, you know, he has the patient, crazy patience, and I'm like, holy shit, he's Le'Veon Bell. You know, there were plays where I literally, that was the player I thought of. And then there were times where man, and this is the biggest compliment I could give to someone. Like, he didn't make me think of anyone. He just looked like Alvin Kamara. You know, he was so unique. And I mean, I think Dave had the comment on a podcast that he glides. He doesn't even look like he's at top speed ever. And I just think the way he sets up his blocks is incredible. He's patient. And then you look at his balance at the second level. It's a little bit Dalton Hilliard. It's a little bit Pierre Thomas, but he doesn't have their thickness. And it defies the laws of physics that he can have this balance, this speed, and this power for his size. I don't get it. And he's his own man. And I really think we may be seeing in Kamara a player that is going to be of this Odell Beckham and Le'Veon Bell pedigree. He may be that good. I think we may have misunderstood. He may be even better than I thought he was going to be.
Dave,
like a week ago, I mean.
Dave, you made the point, and I thought of it when I saw it in the Buffalo game. You made the point that you had never seen him get, like, totally blasted in a game. Yes, the Buffalo game, I kind of saw him take a really good shot, but he just, man, people just can't get a good, like, whack on him, you know? It seems like.
He's a slippery one.
He's a slippery dude.
Well, I get those PFF game summary emails after the games, and I think, you know, PFF does that elusiveness rating for running backs, and Kamara is always up there. I think this past week he was number one in the entire NFL, and I think even Ingram was like number three. So I mean, they're both, and I think what they're taking into account is missed tackles after contact or whatever. So, I mean, both of them are doing a very good job of not going down after initial contact and getting those extra yards.
These weren't suckers. I mean, maybe they quit at the end, but these weren't suckers they were playing. This was a good Bills defense in Buffalo.
They were a top 10 rushing defense going into the game. After the game, they were 25th.
did you guys notice that the Saints were over 300 yards?
And then they did the kneel downs. Dude, you got
to
get it.
Kneel to get back below it.
You got to get Edmonds in there and have Edmonds taken, or you're running fullback dives because you're up 47 right. to 10. Like, even if you fumble, it doesn't matter. You got to keep you, Kevin. You got to keep over three Bills, right? Like, that's poor. That's poor.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's one of those, like, listen. I know the nice lady from Buffalo was telling me and everybody else how classless the Saints were.
Oh my God, Buffalo!
But listen, but listen, you gotta get a number like that. You gotta stay over that. Like, that's just, it's like a quarterback hitting, I don't know, 500 yards or something, or throwing for 6-7 touchdown passes. I mean, those are the kinds of numbers that only come around once in a blue moon. Hell, who was the guy from Baltimore? Jamal Lewis? Did Jamal Lewis do it? Like, he ran for like 290 something against the Browns, like, yeah, a handful of years ago. And I was like, I didn't have him on my fantasy team. I wasn't facing him, but I was just livid, because why would you not try and get him to get to 300 yards? Like, just, yeah. That's one of those feats that's just, like, never mind as a team getting 300 rushing yards, as a human being getting to 300 rushing yards. So, yeah, so as a team, yes, they should have gotten the 300 rushing yards. I mean, that's, yes, it's silly, but, you know, boom, keep Edmondson in there. Have him, you know, have.
I think it was Black and Gold Review that said this. And I apologize if I'm not giving credit to whoever said it on Twitter. I think it was Black and Gold Review, but I have to steal this one. You know, the tweet basically said, if hashtag, and this was in reference to the lady Bills fan who was upset about the Saints being classless, if hashtag classless is back in play this year, this season really is special.
Kevin, what more do you, we have the Saints 7-2.
Fans are calling him classless.
Fans are calling him classless. Megatron's butthole is leaking.
Yep. Jeff Duncan is calling for Goodell to get a raise.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin, what else needs to have happened for this season to be perfect besides the Saints winning the Super Bowl and going 17-2? Like, what other like fun, not like off the field things or need to happen for this season to be even better? Because right now it's about perfect.
I would see an intra ownership civil war between Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell. In which the league somehow manages to force Jerry Jones to sell the Cowboys, and at the same time Roger Goodell winds up leaving the job of commissioner. Like that would be great. Also, Tom Brady decides he's retiring at the end of the year, and Bill Belichick decides he's going to retire with him.
And what happens? I mean, you can't wish for injury, but what would be something great, Kevin, that could happen in Cam Newton?
I mean, listen.
Not what just happened to him.
No.
Well, I don't know what just happened to him. But I would just say
fungus.
You know what? I would say Cam wakes up and realizes that he has missed his calling, and he signs up for a Bravo TV show with Tim Gunn. fashionable footballistas.
And leaves football.
Yeah.
But like fashion for athletes.
Leaves football and ego. And what's the show that they do after The Housewives with Andy Cohen, where they let's talk about it live?
That's what happens live.
Yeah, he can co-host that. Dave, back to football for just like 20 seconds. I feel like that Saints performance yesterday, it wasn't the best like total game I've seen the Saints play. But it was by far the most kick-ass offensive line performance I have ever seen the Saints do. Like, it was so ridiculous. They had somebody tweet out at one point, the Saints had beat the teams that beat Atlanta by a combined score of 60-10. And I said, hey, buddy, they still have a Trey Edmonds touchdown to go. And then, like 2 minutes later, he was taking it to the house. Have you ever seen the Saints do one phase – as good as they did yesterday with running the ball?
There was the Drew Brees perfect passer rating game against the Patriots in 2009. You could say that the passing game in that game was about as good as it's ever going to get for any team. I agree with you. I mean, offensive line, this was probably the best game I've ever seen the Saints offensive line ever play. I forget what the name of that award is that they give out at the end of every season, for the offensive line guys. But, I think the Saints definitely have to be in the running for that. No pun intended. And, this was definitely the most complete game overall that the Saints have played this season for sure. I mean, they played all four quarters. Defense played well the entire game. Offense played well the entire game. You know, this was kind of the game we were looking for. At least I was looking for. Previously, after all the other games, you know, you always kind of felt like, well, they could do this better. They could do this better. I mean, there's not really much that I could point to and say, they need to do, this better or that better. Maybe not the most perfect or greatest game the Saints have ever played, but I think since 2013, I think this is probably the best complete game the Saints have ever played.
Andrew, the Saints scored 47. And
am I wrong? Do you guys agree? Disagree? Talk to me.
I think it is. But here's the thing that's crazy, Andrew, is they scored 47, and Buffalo didn't have a bunch of turnovers. They just had the one. And Drew Brees.
And the Saints gave up the ball once, too. Yeah. I mean, the Saints fumbled it.
And Drew Brees, basically, Andrew, was just like Alfred the Butler. He was just serving the ball to running backs. Like I wouldn't say he was a non-factor because that's not fair. He had a bunch of nice third down. The Saints were finally 50% on third down, which was great. But I mean, he wasn't even like we've been having this podcast for 30 minutes and we're just now bringing him up. And the Saints scored 47. I don't even really know how to process that.
Yeah, I mean, the blocking on his touchdown run was incredible.
Armstead.
Armstead blew that guy out of the water.
Shit. Yeah. It was nice in a game where passing was pretty minimal for the Saints. It was nice to see Mike Thomas at least kind of go nuts because I think he needed that.
Yeah.
You know, for his confidence. And, you know, I told you this, Ralph. I felt like this was what I needed to see to convince me that the Saints really are a Super Bowl contender. And I'm ready to say that now. And I really believe this team is good enough to, you know, who knows how the playoffs go. And certainly the Rams and Eagles could be tough, maybe the Seahawks. But, you know, I think what convinced me more than anything now that this is a Super Bowl contender is that they're winning in so many different ways. And that's what good teams do. And the fact that they won on the road in Buffalo with defense and running, Breeze is going to be there when they need him. He's still going to get his, and he's still going to have his games where he throws 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. I mean, it's coming, it's going to happen. But you know, the fact that they're winning games with block punts for touchdowns and, you know, the defense getting pick sixes like they did against the Lions and, you know, running the football like they did against the Bills. And now they have a top 10 defense. And I just think, again, that's the mark when you win in a lot of different ways. It means that teams are changing the game plan on you, forcing you to do something, daring you to do something else to try to take away what you're best at. And that stuff's working too. Those are the kind of teams that win double-digit games and go to the playoffs and have a chance. So the fact that Breeze isn't doing anything is actually, in my opinion, is really encouraging, because I still just have so much confidence that when the Saints need him, he's going to do what they need him to do.
Kevin, I'm going to break a rule because I know your time's limited. And this question, I think, is tailor-made for me and you. And I can't find it on the scroll for Twitter, but it was so good I remembered it. I'm sorry, I can't give you credit for it. But it said, how good does Drew Brees have to be before Ian Wrong Report stops doing splash reports that the Saints want to get rid of him? And
I think the answer's irrelevant. Drew, like, Breeze could throw 5 touchdowns, no picks, and have, like, you know, the 150 quarterback rating against the Redskins.
And Wrong Report will say that he wants $30 million a year and he might leave, right?
Right.
So it just moved the goalpost.
I can't believe we haven't gotten a Sean Payton splash report yet.
Dude, Tennessee job. I guess
we gotta wait a few weeks for that.
Tennessee job is open. So
you'll get Rappaport's rumoring him any second.
I mean,
I saw Gruden already got rumored for the job.
Bomani Jones did. Yeah. Gruden's been going to Tennessee since like 2006.
He's been going to Notre Dame since that long as well. Like,
Gruden,
listen, why would you give up
$8.5 million a year?
Right. He's paid more than any other coach than any coach. He only has to, quote unquote, work like, what, 2 days a week and spend a third the amount of time going over film or whatever. He gets to spend his time in his goofball quarterback room drawing up plays with college kids, making funny names for shit and being a goofball. And then he goes and shoots Hooters commercials. Like, the guy's living a pretty good life.
He's going to go back to Tampa. Please. I hope he goes back, because I think he's like the most overrated coach of the last 20 years. Like, that dude hadn't won a playoff game since 2004. And Tampa was pretty fucking awful pretty mediocre when he was gone. Dave, you know, we talked about
I just want to point out real quick. Remember that season when the Saints were giving up the most? The passer rating against them was basically the most ever, and it was basically like their average passer rating against them was better than the MVP.
Yes, it was 2015, right?
It was like over 100, yeah. I mean, this year it's 78.0.
Oh, my God.
What year was that, Ralph?
2015. It was 2015.
Yeah, let's just look and see real quick. I'm going to tell you what the exact number was. It was 116.2.
Yeah, I think
worst ever.
I think Kevin had to hit the eject button, so we won't get a pick from him. But here, Dave, here's the thing with the Saints now, and this is weird to say, but I feel like it's true. Is when the Saints play a team that on offense doesn't have a good quarterback solid receivers, and solid offensive line, that offense is fucked. Like, they're not, like, the Buffaloes and the Tampas and all these teams with the Miami, like, well, Miami's the worst offensive football. That's not a fair comparison. But, like, Carolina, whose, like, offense is kind of middling, and, like, the Saints are gonna wreck those teams. And that's where my confidence level is with this defense now.
Well, that means that you are confident or you're not confident.
Yeah, like
I look at it from the other standpoint. It makes me a little less confident because, you know, to be honest with you, the Saints haven't really been tested. When we talk about Saints going to the Super Bowl or going to the playoffs, they're not going to be playing the Jay Cutlers and the what's his face in Green Bay, the Brett Hundleys. You know, you're going to be playing Brady. Yeah, Trubisky. You're going to be playing Brady and whoever.
They were really good against Stafford, though.
And that's really the only, I mean, that was my next point, is I think Stafford and then maybe Newton. Now, Newton was injured when we played the Panthers. But those are really the only two guys of any caliber that the Saints have played and been tested against. So it's going to be interesting to see. I don't. Next week is Kirk Cousins. I don't put him in that category, but
He's top 10-ish.
Yeah. Jared Goff obviously has been playing incredible for the Rams, and Carson Wentz has been playing great for the Eagles and the Seahawks. You know, they're going to be there in the end. I really do think the Seahawks. You know, they're middling right now, but they're going to. They're going to play well down the stretch, and they're going to make a run, and they're probably going to make the playoffs.
Man, that offensive line, though.
I mean, the thing is with Seattle,
Russell Wilson is good.
If Earl Thomas can't go, if he's hurt for any stretch and he can't get back to 100%, he is the, I don't know what you want, the foundation or the linchpin. When he wasn't in there for their defense last year, their defense turned to shit. And now they don't have Sherman. If they don't have Sherman and him, I feel like, Andrew, that's a crack in Seattle's foundation. But I just feel like this. I'm confident in this defense. Maybe Dave isn't as confident as me. But
I'm confident in the defense. But saying that, they beat up on crappy quarterbacks and crappy teams with crappy offensive lines. That's not what makes me feel confident.
Well, that,
I mean, it's nice to know that they're taking care of business when they're supposed to be taking care of business. But there's still a question mark as far as. Are they going to take care of business when business gets tough?
Well, I get that, but you know, you look at their schedule. They have. They still have.
Sorry to shit on your parade.
They still have the Jets. They still have Tampa. You know.
We'll see how they do against the Falcons. I mean, that's probably going to be their biggest quarterback test. I'd say the Falcons and maybe Jared Goff. But the schedule sets up nice for them to. Put together a good record in the regular season, but once the postseason gets here and the playoffs start, that's where I'm a little concerned. Well, so the rubber's going to meet the road.
Can I just say real quick that Ingram doing his whole Lambeau leap thing on the road in opposing teams' stadiums, finding Saints fans in the end zone, might just be the most marvelous thing ever.
And Buffalo fans wasting good beer and making Ingram angrier. I'm all for that. Like, we need to keep that going on the road. But Andrew, we talked about it before about Ingram leading the league. Maybe that's crazy, but like, if I said over under Ingram 1,150 yards rushing for the year, where would you go?
No, I mean, I think, you know, he's 1,000. You know, I still think he's going to have his games where. He's not always going to run like this. I think there's going to be games where Saints get in a shootout or they get down early and, you know, he'll get his 30 yards rushing while the Saints are throwing a lot, or, you know, one game will just call for a different game plan, you know? And so I don't think it's always going to be like this. I think 1,100 is probably like his ceiling in this offense. You know, it's funny, man. When the Saints got Ingram, of course I was excited because he was a Heisman Trophy winner. But, you know, I hate Alabama, and, you know, that definitely wasn't thrilled about getting an Alabama player. And I was quick to be unhappy with him when he struggled because he was an Alabama player. And so, I mean, yeah, it took him longer to win me over. But I got to say, man, if there's not a more likable guy on the team than Mark Ingram. I mean, there's a few, but
if he played anywhere but Alabama in college, he'd be beloved.
Yes, I just think he's always smiling. He's hilarious. I mean, if you watch any of those videos of him, and he's such a leader in the locker room, and you can tell his teammates love him. And
back off, Juge. He's my boyfriend.
I know, man. But the Ingram crush for me is significant. You know, I'm kind of coveting my neighbor's wife here, my neighbor being Dave. But I think Ingram is just kind of like it's all coming together, and he's the complete package for the Saints right now.
I mean, it's, I guess for me, the thing that was most surprising at the Buffalo game was, and it kind of got lost a little, is that Saints defensive line was kicking Buffalo's ass. I mean, Buffalo had, what, 2 4th-and-1s that they didn't get, you know? I mean,
I told you yesterday, Ralph, I have never seen the Saints own Mike Tolbert on 4th-and-1. I mean, Mike Tolbert has made a career out of killing the Saints in short yardage situations.
Yeah. Dolphins are not doing the Saints a solid. They're getting their ass handed to them 31-7 middle third quarter. So
that means the Panthers will still be half a game back.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Can't shake these fuckers.
Yeah, I mean, who do you think is the Saints' main threat, Andrew? Do you still think it's Carolina, or do you think Atlanta's going to make a run here?
No, I mean, I think they're both threats, man. There's a lot of football left, and, you know, Atlanta looked damn good this past week. I still think Atlanta's a threat because, you know, they could put it together.
They caught Dallas on a good week.
Yeah, they did. We also play Atlanta twice, so.
They're going to have an opportunity to do some damage to the Saints and vice versa, you know. So, you know, that remains to be seen. But, you know, I think you look at their schedules, and that this is the, you know, when we ask, like, which one's a bigger threat right now. For me, you look at Atlanta, and they still have to play the Saints twice. They'll have to play there was another real tough one in there somewhere. And then you look at Carolina's schedule, and they only have to play the Saints once more. And then beyond that, they're playing the Jets, the Vikings, the Packers, the Bucks. So to me, you know, the Vikings are kind of tough, but I just think you look at their schedule, and it's pretty manageable. Like, I could see Carolina going 12-4. So it may take that or better to end up ahead of them. And it may come down to the second game.
Yeah, they get the Jets next. So the thing is with Carolina, I mean, it's gonna be.
Now they do play each other the last game of the season. Yeah. So that could also come. That could be a big playoff bearing scenario.
Yeah.
The Panthers and the Falcons. That's who they play each other last game of the season.
Yes.
ESPN's little playoff generator thing today said the Saints had a 98% chance to make the playoffs. So I'm just gonna hold on to that.
Dolphins with a big TD run. Maybe the Panthers can.
Dolphins do like to do comebacks. I'll give them that.
What's the score?
31-14.
So, let's. I asked people to describe the Saints 7-2 in 5 words, and I asked for questions. So somebody said, "Let's go, fucking rally, orgasmic, one word, unbelievable. Here comes Dirty Bird Gumbo." I like that. Here's a good question, Andrew. This is from Chris. How many more wins, blowouts are we from the 2009 to 2011? We can kill anybody any week of the season. Swagger and confidence. Personally, I think they make a statement against Washington and edge the Rams, and I'm there.
I might already be there, man.
I'm there.
Seven in a row. I'm not saying that they're going to win both of those games. And they may lose both. They may split them, but. There's at this point, I've seen enough that there's no game the Saints go into that I don't think they have a chance.
They played when they got up 14-3 at Buffalo. I never once for a goddamn second thought Buffalo was winning that game.
And yeah.
the last 3 years, the Saints could have been up 21-3 on Buffalo, and I'd have been like, all it takes is a couple of plays, and it's a shitty defense, and Buffalo, the crowd will be back in, and it'll be a nail biter. Yeah, it got to be 14-3, 17-3 at half. I was clicking on the red zone channel. I was peeking over at this, peeking over at that. I mean, it's just a completely different animal now.
It's like the Falcons last year and the Carolina the year before. I mean, you guys remember at the beginning of the year, they were getting so many fluky, terrible wins, unconvincing wins against shitty teams, and they'd find a way to get it done in the fourth quarter. And I remember us saying at the time, like, oh, it's gonna normalize. They can't sustain this. But as the season progressed, as they got deeper in the season, they started killing teams.
That's what Atlanta did last year. They finished
that breeds confidence. You start winning a bunch. You win a lot of close games, and all of a sudden you start believing, and it changes things. And I just think the Saints have had some weak opponents. They've won not playing that well against the Packers and the Bears. And, you know, they've kind of looked kind of mediocre in the process beating those teams. And so I thought it would normalize, but what I'm seeing is kind of what we saw from Carolina 2 years ago and the Falcons last year is, you know, now that they've gotten some confidence, these younger players are getting better, and they're starting to crush people. Now, the thing, they do have a lot of rookies that are contributing, and, you know, a lot of NFL teams talk about this
the
rookie wall that usually hits you at about 12 games, and that's something I'm nervous about. So as we get deeper into the season, you know, Marcus Williams, Lattimore, Ramczyk, you know, how are these guys going to be playing in week 14 and 15?
Dave, this is from 40 Man. We talk about hitting on all our rookies this year. What about all the coaching changes? How big is that?
You know what? Nobody's really been talking about all those changes, but you know, every offseason, that was always sort of my drum that I pounded on, and I haven't even really thought about it.
I see some things percolating that Dennis Allen's working on another head coaching job. Like, that the Saints defense has been that good, and he's getting on lists, whatever that means.
Well, I don't know much about Dennis Allen and his personality. I don't know whether he's interested in another head coaching job.
Everybody's interested in another head coaching job.
I don't know if that's true.
He's not even 40. Is he? He's like not even 40, I don't think.
Dave, if he's offered a job, he leaves tomorrow.
Cam Newton is about to go 80 yards.
Well, you know, but yes, I think for sure the special teams changing. Vitt's gone. Who else? The defensive line. Johnson's gone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even if you're not replacing them with like these amazing coaches, I think.
Mike Nolan's done a great job, I think.
Yeah, Nolan, of course. Yeah, yeah, obviously. I mean, you know, just making the change, I think, can go a long way. I mean, some of those guys have been here a long time, and had already overstayed their welcome.
I think the one coach you really have to applaud on the Saints is Dan Rauscher, offensive line assistant. You know, I mean, the job that he's done shuffling numerous injuries, moving guys around.
And Dan Campbell, too. Dan Campbell, he's off.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those two guys have just, you know, the job they've done has been tremendous.
Yeah. It's an interesting question, Andrew, about the linebackers. You know, I think they've been better than I thought they would be, but I'm still not sure that they can cover running backs because New England torched them. And I'm still not 100% certain that if teams can isolate them and get them to have to cover, that they can do it. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think Robertson has had moments. You know, he's kind of up and down a little bit in coverage, but he's not a disaster. And, you know, now if Manti Te'o has to start covering more because Klein's out, you know, we'll find out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're holding it together. I mean, I think that's part of the three safety look that the Saints employ a lot of times is you can move those guys around and they have the flexibility, the ability to stay with running backs. You know, Raphael Bush, Chris Banjo has been playing a little bit. And so, you know, a lot of times they'll use that extra safety as a linebacker.
You know, people don't talk about it. You know, they talk about coaches and stuff. I'm telling you, if the Saints go deep in the playoffs, Jeff Ireland's going to get a look because me and Andrew were talking, you know, the Saints, the last draft pick that they really missed on was Davis Toll in 2015. I mean, they've hit on they haven't completely whiffed on any picks. It says, yeah, Anthony was not a great pick, and they traded him. But, like, all the other ones have been guys that have made it. They've done at least something in the NFL. I think, man, if the Saints go deep in the playoffs or go, like, 12-4 and get a bye or a number one seed, Ireland's going to get a look for a job. This, I cannot believe this. This might be one of my worst oversight of the year. Guys, I forgot to ask Kevin. This week is belt week with Junior Gallette.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys...
Does he play?
Yeah, he plays. He's been playing.
Like, he starts?
I don't know if he starts, but he plays. I've seen him chasing quarterbacks and doing stuff, so he's definitely going to play.
It's also Fat Rob Kelly coming back to New Orleans. Ryan Grant. There's a bunch of Redskins on...
the Redskins have the most Tulane players on the league.
Yeah, they got two. Yeah, that's probably qualifies.
Andrew, if the Redskins beat the Saints, do we have to give Junior Gallette's Achilles back to him?
Hopefully not. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of too bad because he said all that awful stuff about Zach Strief.
So,
and I know Zach Strief was really too bad that he can't hit him.
This is funny.
And outed Peyton.
Freaking
as a drug
about
abuser.
This might be our greatest social media accomplishment ever. Freaking about football. Ask the question: if the Redskins beat the Saints, do we have to give Junior Gallette's Achilles back to him? But you know who favorited that tweet? Junior Gallette.
Oh boy.
It's perhaps our greatest social media
lurking in the shadows.
I gotta
move, guys. I'm sorry.
Do we get to all go under witness protection now?
We do.
If I didn't get in trouble for completely outing him and his boys in my my Zapruder film breakdown, then I guess I think we're probably all right.
He still has a Dave Cariello picture under his pillow.
This is five words from Mike. Saints Kool-Aid is the best. I'm not just drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm bathing in the Kool-Aid. Like,
I'm blackout off the Saints.
Mainlining Kool-Aid. That shit.
Yeah.
This is from Mike. Dave, this is a good question.
Ralph, you know what we need to do? You need to, right now, at this point in the podcast, you need to go back and you need to insert some of our depressed talk after the Saints game. And, like, just put it up there for, like, you know, as a stark comparison to our mood and how we feel.
I need to do a montage from the Patriot, the Monday after the Patriot
Those were
game.
Dark times.
I mean, just a couple of, you know, quick bits just about how, like, we were ready to kill ourselves.
And, you know, like, the Vikings and Patriots have both looked so good this year. Like, those don't really feel like bad losses.
Yeah, I mean...
They lost to two very good teams.
No, I mean...
And Devontae Harris was kind of the common denominator in both of those games, and he hasn't played since. So.
This is a serious football question, Dave, from Mike. Will special teams cost the Saints a game this season? Lutz is looking very heartlity. He's looking like he can't bang in the short extra point one, but he can bang it in from 50 yards. Only thing missing is him a picture on Twitter from him in a duck blind, and he'll be Hartley 2.0, which I'm not. That's not necessarily a bad thing because Hartley was good when it really really mattered. But it's kind of like, are we feeling kind of dicey about Lutz? Either one of you, Andrew, Dave?
I'm feeling pretty good about him.
I'm with Andrew, I feel pretty good. I mean, he's not amazing.
No kicker is going to be 100% all the time.
But I mean, as far as the last 5-6 years, I probably trust him more than anybody else that they've ever had, and that's a lot of kickers. The Saints have had a lot of kickers.
It is a
in
lot
the last
of kickers.
5-6 years.
I wrote a column. It was in the double digits.
Yeah.
At one point it was.
They averaged like 3 or 4 a year.
At one point it was more kickers than years. The Saints had more place kickers than Sean Payton had years coaching the team.
Yeah.
I mean, on field goals, he's 18 for 22. Yeah. You know, I mean, you maintain that and I got no problem. Now he's missed three extra points. Yeah. Two are blocked, but that's way too much.
Let's see. Andrew, this is from JP. Which wideout gets traded next year for a high draft pick?
Well, they're running out of receivers to trade.
As Skook said, we're just waiting for Willie Snead to thaw out.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Now, I could see Snead being traded.
Cha-ching says, holy shit, where's the Tylenol? Is there a nick? This is from Matt. Dave, is there a nickname for the Ingram-Kamara duo? There needs to be.
Yeah, you know what? Ingramera?
Ingramera.
Like that one.
This is from Matthew. This is probably my favorite.
The guys on WWL, like Christian Garrick, they're trying really hard to get the Marshland started as a nickname for Lattimore.
It's not bad. You got what they need to do is they need to make a T-shirt on Etsy, and start selling it. This is from Matthew.
Maybe I'll do that for Ingramara.
This is my favorite Saints, describe Saints 7-2 in 5 words. And this is really true, Andrew, I think. Super Bowl window has reopened.
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
I'm with it.
This team is young. If they're going to re-sign Breeze, don't listen to wrong report guy. And they're going to have decent cap room next year, right, Andrew? Well, depending on Breeze, right?
Yeah. It should be all right.
I mean, they could go and get a really good linebacker if they wanted, right? And
I don't think it's one guy, man. I think it's – I think they need to listen to how this offseason went. And yeah. You just get a bunch of mid-price guys and draft well. I think that's the key to success for this team.
Yeah.
You're building your depth.
Let's see. Will Mickey Loomis consult MIT mathematicians or drink baby's goat blood inside of a pentagram to find the cap space to re-sign Breeze and Vaccaro? That's from Riker.
Yeah. All he needs is Loomis math.
Vaccaro, Dave, back on the team in 2018, you think?
After this season, yeah. I think he's been a leader. I think he's really stepped up and accepted that role, and obviously on the field he's playing well. I think he's
though, man. If
I'm gonna say they let him walk.
I mean,
this was a make or break season for me personally, as far as Vaccaro is concerned.
But here's the thing with Vaccaro is the Saints, I can see a scenario where the Saints would go 12-4 and Vaccaro have a really nice year, and we're like, he's having a nice year. The Saints are going to re-sign him. He's going to cost 4 years, $35 million, and it's going to be $8.5 million a year. That's cool. We'll give him $17 million bonus. And then in the playoffs, Andrew, he goes Tracy Porter, blows up, and some team says, hey, Kenny, you want 4 years, $48 million? And the Saints do what they did with Fujita, and they're like, we're not paying Vaccaro $12 million a year. We're just not doing it. Like, you know, I could, like, that's a scenario that I think is real, and I would be okay with it if it meant winning a Super Bowl. But is that far fetched, Andrew?
Not at all.
They could tag him, couldn't they?
They could tag him.
Like, they could.
I don't think they would, though.
Yeah, but if he went like bonkers in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl and was like Super Bowl MVP. I mean,
I don't know.
You know what? I don't even give a shit what happened.
Williams, they got Von Bell.
Yeah.
I think they're going to let him walk. I think he's failed a drug test. He's failed a drug test. He's been injured a lot. He's injured right now again. And he's been up and down, man. I mean, he's playing great right now, but he has had a full career. Even the season, the first two games, I mean, he played like garbage. So, he's been real up and down. I don't think you give $8 to $10 million a year to a guy that's real up and down.
Definitely not above 10.
Ralph, in your scenario, the Saints win the Super Bowl, so I don't really give a crap what happens the next year.
That's what I'm saying though. Like if
they
can
move to San Antonio, whatever.
people loved Scott Fujita, right? He was pretty beloved, I would say. He wasn't a great player. And the Saints won the Super Bowl, and he got like, didn't he get like $18 million from Cleveland with like $9.5 million guaranteed for like four years?
Yeah,
like something ridiculous. And people were like, they just like stood up and applauded and was like, good for you for getting that Cleveland Brown money, Scott Fujita. Good on you. Like, I feel like that's the scenario with Kenny Vaccaro that's going to happen. You know, this is interesting. Has Sean Payton officially turned into Bill Parcells, Andrew?
In what way?
I don't know. That's just the question. Has he turned into Bill?
You know, I think Sean has definitely taken a lot from Bill. You know, obviously he was a mentor, but Sean's his own guy. Yeah, I would never have put Parcells in Sean Payton's class in terms of offensive genius.
He's much more engaged this year. Now, granted, it's the winning, but I feel like he's just
Parcells was not player friendly like Payton is. I feel like Payton is well respected by his players, and Parcells, I think, he commanded a little more fear, you know, and just a little bit more respect. I think if I'm comparing the two, I view Payton as more player friendly.
Dave, do you feel like Sean Payton is back? I feel like he's back in the groove. The Saints are doing fun, weird, goofy stuff initiated by him. I feel like he's definitely re-engaged where he maybe hasn't been the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, if lying down in the end zone on the kickoff isn't goofy enough for you.
That's what I'm talking about.
They're having fun, man.
Yeah, yeah. If that doesn't show them having fun, then I don't know what does.
Is this the most?
I'm still waiting for the Kamara halfback pass.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They did Sneed last year in a blowout. So, is this the most complete team in the Sean Payton era, Andrew?
No, I mean, 2009 won a Super Bowl, man. You know.
Yeah, but. I don't know. They never got this high rated.
Courtney Roby was a great returner on kickoffs, and Bush was great on punts, and Morstead was amazing, and Hartley had his best year.
Sharper.
Yeah. I mean, Will Smith was a double-digit sack guy. Vilma was one of the best linebackers in the NFL.
This year's team, the 2017 Saints, are definitely significantly less rapey.
Oh, man. I think 2009 crushes this team.
Before we get to the Redskin game, what needs to be the, you know, obviously going into the year we're like, God, just don't go 7-9, have a winning season, get to the playoffs, we'll do backflips, it'll be great. But Andrew, they're 7-2. I think they're the best team in the NFC. So. What's the level?
Yeah, they need to go 1-6 the rest of the way to not go 7-9.
But like, what's the level of success they need to have for you to say this is a good season? Like,
I'm not going to be happy with 9-7 at this point. You know, if you had told me at the beginning of the year, like, shoot, they can improve to 9-7, I'll take it. I'll roll the dice on whether that means playoffs or not. But you know, at this point. I mean, the goal has got to be to win the division. I mean, it's right there for them. So that's the goal. If they don't win the division, but, you know, get in as a wild card, 10-6 would mean they go 3-4 the rest of the way. So I feel like that's got to be the bare minimum.
Dave, what's your definition of success in 2017?
I'd say getting a first round bye.
Ooh, that's a steep bar.
I mean, they're 7-2 now,
the Rams game's going to dictate a lot about whether they get that bye or not.
But that's true. But I mean, they play the Reds. They can still get a bye. You know, in second place too. I mean, they just have to be one of the top two teams, I think.
Well, but the Eagles are going to be the top team.
I don't know. The Eagles still have some hard games left. You know,
the Eagles look untouchable, man.
Yeah, I'll say this: my way to measure this Saints season is that they're 7-2 now. It comes down to two things for me: They got to make the playoffs, and they can't lose at home in the playoffs, whatever that means. So if they go 11-5 and they host a playoff game and they win that playoff game and they go to the second round and lose, that's okay. Just don't lose, because losing a home playoff game, man, it just leaves a bitter fucking taste. And I know people say 2011 left a bitter taste, and it did, but I'll tell you, man, nothing was as fucking bitter as all those Jim Mora losses, Andrew, where you walked out of the dome after losing a home playoff game. Like, I feel like, get to the playoffs and don't lose a home playoff game, I will give this season a success. It'll be, to me, it's a
I mean, we talked about this in Drunken History, and, you know, I think a lot of Saints fans feel like the San Francisco playoff game was the most painful in team history. But for me, losing at home to the Falcons in the playoffs was the worst.
Yeah.
It was the worst.
The Eagles game, too, because they were up 20-6 at the half.
Yeah, I mean, blowing that game was tough, but I think the Falcons in particular, you know, just the rivalry, and I really thought that was going to be the year they won their first playoff
game. And they
had
MC – oh, it was the disaster. And they were doing too legit to quit, and they had MC Hammer and Evander Holyfield on the sideline. Just fucking awful in every way. The Saints, Dave, they host the Redskins, and it is official. All it took for the Saints – to have the Superdome tax back imposed on them was a half a season of good football. The Saints are an 8.5-point favorite against the Redskins at home.
Ooh, my
wow.
That's
big. That's a lot.
Basically, we're back to the 2011 and 2013 Saints, where Vegas is like, the Saints destroy teams at home, and if you want to bet on them, you are going to have to lay an obscene amount of points. And it's 8.5 today. It's probably going to get to 9, Dave, but we'll leave it at 8.5 for our purposes. Saints, Redskins, who you got?
You know, there's absolutely no reason why I should not be expecting the Saints to win this game. I don't think there's anything that points to the Redskins being the better team.
They did go to Seattle and win. They aren't terrible.
Yeah, they're not terrible, but I it's not so much the Redskins, I suppose. I think it's just the Saints are just so hot. They are just so hot right now.
So hot.
Oh, baby, that's hot. Oh yeah, you're making me hot. Anyway, I am gonna go with.
They're 20th in total defense by yards.
Yeah, I'm going to go with...
They get sacks and picks, though.
I'm going to go with Saints 45, Redskins 17.
Ooh, they're 19th against the run. Okay, so if that's 45-19, who's your MVP?
45-17. I'm not picking Michael Thomas. You know, we were talking earlier. I'm gonna go with Breeze on this one. This is gonna be the game. This is gonna be his game, like we said earlier, where he's just gonna
light that shit up.
Yeah. Oh, he's gonna light the dome up. Light him up. He's gonna be nice and warm in there after coming back from Buffalo. It's gonna be all warm and toasty.
So, Andrew, Saints are an 8.5-point favorite. Who you got?
Nice. Cam Newton just took a big shot.
Yeah, he did.
He looks a little hurt. Nice.
A little wobbly.
A little banged up.
You're a terrible person.
Yeah, sorry. hey, man, if the Dolphins can't beat him, maybe they can just break Cam Newton. So I think this will be a tough game. This is going to be one of the tougher tests the Saints have had in their secondary. The Redskins can sling it pretty good. You know, Kirk Cousins has had a good year. I think he's right around 100 rating. He's put up some solid stats. You know, they don't have the weapons that really scare me. They don't run the ball that well.
They have a lot of injuries. Like Jordan Reed is always hurt.
Yeah.
Who's the Terrell Pryor who they got? He hasn't worked out for them really.
So like their best receivers are like Vernon Davis and Chris Thompson and Jameson Crowder. Yeah, they throw the ball to Ryan Grant. Yeah, exactly. You know, a bunch of guys that are just kind of meh. And so there's no one really on this offense that terrifies me. I think the Saints secondary is going to do a good job. But that's the thing about Cousins is all year, man. He has, I mean, he's got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's got 7 guys with 15 catches or more this year.
They're 12th in points per game at 23.
Yeah, so he's spreading the ball around nicely. And, you know, I think pass rush is pretty balanced. I mean, and Ryan Kerrigan, Preston Smith has been good. Their rookie, Matt Ioannidis, the guy from Temple. So they've got some pass rush a little bit. To me, the Redskins, top to bottom, are pretty solid. They're just not great at anything. I think they're good in all areas, or decent to good in all areas, great at nothing. And so I think it'll be a good test. But at the end of the day, it's just the Saints are just too much right now. And I think the fans are all jacked up. I think the key here, especially coming out of Buffalo winning like that, is – just to not get overconfident and get complacent. And I think last year,
when the Saints drop an ass whooping, they lay an egg the next week, like last week. Last year they played the Rams, and then I think Sean Payton
is going to keep them even keel. I'm hoping that, you know, that's going to be the message this week is, hey, guys, don't get too high. You know, we've got an important game at home. So I think the fans are going to be jacked up. I think the Redskins are going to give the Saints a nice test. I don't think this will be a blowout, but at the end of the day, too much Saints. Saints 34, Redskins 24. And my MVP is going to be Kamara, man. I just think Kamara right now is on a different level.
Yeah, this game is tough for me because part of me is like the Saints are rolling. They're just going to keep obliterating. They're going to keep obliterating teams, and you shouldn't pick against them or pick them even to have a close game because they just keep crushing people. But the thing is, it's like, man, the NFL is such a one-score league, and the Saints, they're 7-2. They've had one game that's a one-score game. Even their losses, they weren't close, you know? So, but man, I just feel like it ain't Washington, man. Washington ain't the team to do it, to keep the Saints close. I'm going to say 38 to 17 Saints, and it's just going to be another ass whooping. And Mark Ingram is going to have another monster game, and 110-2, and just be like, by the end of the week, be like a top three in rushing yards. You know, I mean, you can legitimately start looking at them and in the NFC especially be like, Mark Ingram has a chance to be the starting running back in the Pro Bowl. Hopefully he won't go because the Saints will be playing in the Super Bowl, or they'll go deep in the playoffs and Ingram will just want a week off. But I think that's where you're going. So, I mean, oh, gee, god damn, Miami's fucking terrible. Anyway, the Saints will need to win because Carolina's dropping a 40-burger on the Dolphins. So I'm going to say 38-17 Saints. So that'll wrap it up for today. So, Dave, your 2018 Saints preview, how far along are you?
Oh, it's pretty much already written.
Is it just going to be a gift of the Lombardi Trophy sparkling?
Yep, that's it. You got it. Nailed it.
All right, so for Kevin, who had to leave early, for Andrew, for Dave, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed.